Welcome to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here is your host, Dave Woodward.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Funnel Hacker Radio. You guys are in for a massive treat today. You have the opportunity of hearing from Melinda Wittstock. Melinda, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's great to be with you.
I'm so happy to have you here. For you guys who don't know Melinda, she's a serial entrepreneur, a recovering award-winning journalist, a mom of two girls, which is one of the most important things, and she's traveled the Amazon, and she also worked with founded Verifeed, which is a social media intelligence platform. And one of the things I'm super excited today to talk about is how you can actually profit from social conversations and how do you really figure out what your return on authenticity is. So with all that, Melinda, anything else you want to say before we just dive right in?
Well, there's only one thing. I have a girl and a boy. I think my son would be my son would be a little flipped out.
He would be. A girl and a boy. My mistake.
A girl and a boy. It's okay.
Awesome.
Well, but otherwise, you got it all right.
Well, I'm a father of four boys, so I've never had the opportunity of having a girl. So anytime someone has a couple girls, I think I might have tossed an extra one in there. Just
exactly. But four, that's a handful. Congratulations on that.
Well, thank you. I'm so excited to have you on. At times, I always think I should record and post the actual pre-conversation before the podcast, because that's where a lot of the juice is. And we're kind of talking about this whole importance as far as this social networking and how amazing. I literally think we're probably two degrees of separation away from each other. We've associated with so many different networks and circles. It's just a lot of fun having you on the show. So thank you very much.
Yeah, well, as I say, it's great to be here, and I'm so excited to talk about this. I get very enthusiastic about what I do because there's so much value and so much intelligence and predictive insights in all these social conversations if you know where to look. And we're kind of like an alchemy type company, right? Where, you know, in finding all this information on social media, we can really help people accelerate their growth. So it's so excited to be on your show.
Well, thanks. So a little backstory to help people understand, you know, most of the time we find right now, everybody's just throwing a whole bunch of Facebook posts out there. They're tweeting, they're on Snapchat, they're on Instagram, lots of conversations going on all the time. And yet you really never know how to actually monetize that. But more importantly, I love the term you talk about. We always talk about ROI as far as, you know, your return on your investment, or ROT, your return on your time. You've coined a new phrase, which I've never heard before, and that's return on authenticity. Can you kind of tell me what is ROA?
Yeah, exactly. So the first part really is the return, because, you know, one of the reasons that I founded Verifeed was because I realized that brands and businesses were having a really hard time figuring out what kind of return they were getting on their social media investment. Everybody knows they have to be current and relevant on social media, not least of which because 92% of us don't even make a purchasing decision without validation from like someone like us, like a non-interested third party on social media. 92%. So like we all have to be there and we have to be relevant and in those conversations. But it's an industry still kind of in its infancy in the sense that the analytics always are after the fact. They always catch up. And there's a lot of analytics out there that measure your campaign in terms of how many likes, how many follows, how many shares. But those are, in my opinion, vanity metrics because they don't actually tie back to your bottom line. And so park that concept over there for a moment. We wanted to be able to really figure out what the real return is. And then separately, in analyzing all these conversations, we learned over time that brands and businesses and individuals who speak with authenticity, we define that as a real genuineness on social media. The word social is important in the sense that it's interaction, it's conversation. You know, brands and businesses that speak like human beings, that genuinely walk their talk and actually care. You know, about their customers, ask their customers like questions and things, right? Like, it's not that radical. It is a social, you know, the media, right? It's social. But those folks who really were acting and speaking with authenticity were outperforming everybody else, say in their sector, and they were getting much better results, a much better return. So we combined these two concepts and thought, oh, return on authenticity could be your ROA score instead of your ROI, right? And then we went out and trademarked that concept. And right now we're in private beta. We already do an ROA score, but we're in private beta right now with an app that will let anyone actually score their authenticity and help them to improve that score over time. By connecting them to people who are actually interested in the value proposition of what they're offering to the marketplace, i.e. their leads, customer leads, their customers, their potential customers, pre-qualified customers, and also to the people who are the most influential in helping them get their message out.
I love that. Well, I know that a lot of our current listeners and things, Facebook seems to be where most of our users tend to spend a lot of their time from an advertising standpoint. It's the easiest platform probably to advertise on. And I know that we hear people talk all the time about different audiences and trying different ways of tweaking things so you can capture and retarget and do all these types of stuff. How does that actually play into this whole idea as far as profiting on a social conversation?
Yeah, it's a great thing. I mean, yeah, so you raise a wonderful point. So Facebook has really nailed advertising beautifully. I mean, particularly for Facebook itself. It makes a lot of money, right? It's doing extremely well. Okay. And it's still, like Gary Vaynerchuk will say, it's still pretty cheap, compared to Google, compared to what advertising used to cost. And if you know the people that you're looking for, that's awesome. It's just that you and I both know, and everybody who does this, who's ever tried to create a funnel or an ad on Facebook or anywhere else, it takes a while to really test and to multivariate test and really get that funnel working. And part of the problem is trying to figure out what message to what people and what works with whom, when. It can take tens of thousands of dollars over many, many months for that finally to click in. And when it does, you still don't know who the individuals are necessarily, or it's hard for many people to be able to connect those individuals that have, say, purchased or joined a list or just even purchased a product as a result of that funnel to their social media profile, where they can go back and continue to interact with those people and turn those people into word of mouth ambassadors for them. So one of the things that Verifeed does that I set out to do in terms of that return is to increase the impact of an ad or an organic social media campaign and do so like 10x it, but do so at a tenth of the time and a tenth of the cost. So if you imagine, for instance, being able to run social intelligence and really understand and pre-qualify who your customers are ahead of running an ad. So who are all the people who are out there by virtue of what they're sharing with each other in social conversations who already want what you're selling, but they just don't know you yet? And what if you could know, like, not only how many, but who they are, where they are, what their hobbies are, what their interests are, their needs, their challenges, and moreover, how they actually speak with each other. I mean, down to even the phrases that they use. Okay, so imagine having all that data at your fingertips and in a way that's relatively easy to organize, and now build an ad. You're going to get that ad right. Like right out of the gate.
Absolutely.
Instead of spending a lot of time and a lot of money. So we like to say, you can guess, or you can educated guess, or you can know. And so that's one of the primary ways in which we can increase the return, I mean, or at least speed the return and increase the return, and do so for less money just because of the less amount of time being spent. You get it right the first time, or maybe the second time, worst case, the third time instead of the 66th time, right? You know what I mean? So there's like a material difference there. So like that's one of the major ways. And I think also though, the return really happens in a way that's a little bit subtle for most people. I think we're all very used to being transactional. I mean, you know, we're all in business. We all want to go out there and sell something and sell it quickly and get it done. Like, I've got this to offer. Who's going to buy? Okay, great. You're buying. Awesome. Thanks. The problem now, though, is that consumers are I think that the whole thing is inverted. You know, when we sell B2C or business to consumer, I believe it's now C to B. It's like consumer to business. It's like the consumers are all out on social media saying, okay, well, I don't really have very much time. Here's what I need. Okay, now you can all bid for me. Okay. And I may be a little temperamental, you know, and I'm going to be very, very picky and choosy, and I don't have a lot of time. So you come to me. And I think that's what's actually happened. And so when consumers are just everyday people on social media, they're there sharing information and just sharing their day to day with their friends, they're not actually actively on social media to purchase, but they are influenced on what to purchase while they're there. And so when brands and businesses throw what look like ads to them that aren't necessarily relevant or don't look or are very self-serving or salesy in some way, they're often just passed over as spam. So to find a way to connect with people and to do so efficiently is really important. So again, the more you know about them before you start a conversation or before you do aim an ad, the more likely that organic post or conversation starter, we like to call them, that really begins a nice interaction on social or an ad, you know, the more likely that that's actually going to resonate and work. Not only that, but be appreciated, because you're actually helping someone to purchase something that they need.
No, I think that's fantastic. Is that where you see the opportunity to leverage influencers?
Yeah, I really do. I mean, what's interesting about how the influencer whole kind of paradigm, I think, is really shifting quite a bit, is it started out with everybody looking for celebrities, you know, people who were well-known in some way or experts. And that makes a lot of sense, you know, because they inherently have influence. People know who they are, you know, they're respected, all of that. But now the consumer is, I think, very well aware that a lot of influencers are being paid.
Right.
And so the influencers start to look like, I mean, everyone's kind of jaded, right? It's kind of like, oh, yeah, of course they would be saying that, wouldn't they?
And you get paid to.
Right. And so one of the things that our algorithms look for in the social conversations are just everyday regular people who, just by virtue of how they do social media, are kind of connectors and influencers. Their posts tend to be shared more than other people's posts, and that sort of thing. And often just regular everyday people can be very influential. So I think the biggest metric, this is the biggest success story we ever had. We, for an anti-aging pill, we found 10 regular everyday women on Twitter who moved more than 9 million people to click on a link straight to an Amazon shopping cart.
Wow.
So think of that, like 10 people over about 4 weeks of Twitter conversations. This is about a year ago, 18 months ago, influenced more than 9 million others. And so it's just really math. No, it's just math. It's a social network. It's exponential. So if you get the right 10, that are liked, you know, and have developed followings and are posting stuff that's relevant to other people, they share with their friends and their friends and their friends and their friends and so on and so on and so on. And you can get to that kind of a number. It doesn't always happen. I mean, often we'll find 10 people who influence 100,000, but even that's meaningful,
that's crazy.
Right? Yeah, right. Well, that's why a social network should be leveraged in this way. Something that Gary Vaynerchuk talks about a lot, which I think is so true, is that the amplification of just making someone's day on social, like by giving them some extraordinary gift or just making them feel very special or just being personal, like just being like acting like a friend, you know, right? When that person feels special, they will share that with all their friends, and exponentially the brand or the business that's doing that looks good even to the people that they're not even directly talking to.
I love that. No, I think that's been one of the biggest things we've seen recently is the impact of just those little tiny thoughts and how viral they can become, but most importantly, how strong that influence is on the people who see it and interact with it.
Yeah, no, it's really true. It does work. And it's just one of those things, like often to our, you know, our clients, sometimes we'll be saying things like, hey, so like, how do you make a friend in real life? People like, look at me like I'm asking them a trick question or something, right? Like I'm not, it's just like, really, seriously, how do you, you know? People have sort of small chat and then they find something that they have in common, right? And once you have something you have in common, it starts a conversation. And so when people and brands and businesses approach social media as a conversation, like literally a give and take, a get to know, how can I help you, conversation that's interesting and meaningful, so much value comes from that. I think it's hard for people to get their heads around, though, because it takes time. It's not necessarily as instantaneous as we would all like in a fast-moving culture, right, where you want to just, yeah, let's just get some sales today, right? do you know what I mean? Let's just go do that. It takes a little bit of time, but ultimately, I don't know. It's kind of like tortoise and hare, I guess, right? So you can go a little bit slower in the beginning and really understand your audience very well and learn all about them and really observe them and understand how they speak to each other and what they need. Then you can shape messaging and interactions around that knowledge. And then you start to get those really nice viral amplification effects that increasingly you can predict. And at that point, you know, weeks, months, you're getting much better results than you would have had you gone the traditional path.
I think that's great. I know that Blynn, a lot of people we deal with, it's when they're first getting started, they want to make sure they get some sales. And so it's this shotgun approach of throwing as much stuff out there and something's going to happen. And I think there's some value to that. But at the same time, again, your example as far as the tortoise and the hare, it goes back and forth with, you know, which way is best. And I think at times it's almost both. I'd love to be the tortoise and the hare.
I think you're right. I think you sort of do have to do a number of different things. I mean, it's important to have enough. Let me back up a second. I mean, you know, the what we're finding is the more that folks can personalize their message and do so at scale, the better. Now that sounds really hard to do, and it's hard to do. Well, to be able to personalize content and messages on social media, is required by the consumer, but hard to do. It's hard to do and because it takes time, it's almost like, you know, you're right, Dave, it's really important to have some sort of parallel process, at least at the beginning, before you're able to kind of kickstart this viral amplification effect. So when we're working with our clients, you know, really it is kind of a mix of both. I mean, I think to do only organic social media and not advertising would not be smart. I think to do only paid without doing organic is not very smart either, because doing the organic really well actually increases your chances of the ads having a much better reach, much better conversion. So it really is, I suppose if you think of it as this kind of artist palette, you know, you want to be able to be dangerous use all the tools available to you. But increasingly people do at least, you know, they're heavily influenced by how they perceive and how they see their friends think about the brands and businesses that they would purchase from as validated by social media.
I think that's fantastic. I think that whole key to the everyday influencer is one of the things I'm seeing more and more of all the time. You know, we see these YouTube overnight sensations where all of a sudden this person's got, you know, 30 quadrillion different views, and you're like, how did that happen? And how these things go viral and all this kind of stuff. And I think the idea as far as that, you know, being authentic. Casey Neistat's one of the guys I've seen recently who's just, I mean, this is a guy who started off, again, great videographer, but now he's actually, you know, he's seen, I think it's on Sprint TV or a commercial for Sprint or T-Mobile or something like that. You're going, really? And it's a guy who started off on YouTube.
Oh, God, YouTube is a really interesting ecosystem because the average kid, just regular, like high schooler, can do better on YouTube than a big brand. And where the brands go wrong, again, a little too salesy, right? Too slick. It looks like they're trying to. It's kind of not believable. And I mean, maybe this comes back really just to the concept of trust. And if you think of our society right now and the state of our institutions and that, you know, there's a lot of trust that has been lost in the media. Trust has been lost in political, you know, in politics and in institutions, you know. Trust even in consumer goods and healthcare, like, which thing should I buy? Like, is that going to be healthy for me or is it going to give me cancer? Right. Like, you know, I'm serious. Like, we're so cynical, you know, in many ways, right. As a population, it's really difficult. Everything has been so disrupted and, you know, all of our institutions, people don't trust lawyers. People don't trust bankers. They don't trust politicians. They don't, you know, right.
Oh yeah.
So
absolutely.
So in that kind of scenario where that's just almost a given, to earn the trust of someone is very, very important. And so there's something about just being raw, being authentic. It's like the same reason why video that has really low production values is more trusted than something really slick.
Totally agree.
Right. And the YouTube phenomenon is fascinating. I mean, I've watched that with my kids, like my son, who's 10. When he was six, he discovered this guy like in Wales that, was like a Minecraft expert. okay. And so he was doing these Minecraft videos and Finn was one of the first, you know, one of his first subscribers. This guy has more than like 5 million subscribers now, just like narrating like Minecraft tips and stuff. Right. It might be even more than that now.
Yeah. No, I think that's the thing when you start talking about this authenticity, and you're right, as far as, you know, high quality videos, all that kind of stuff, there's definitely a place for it. And we're toying around a ton right now with YouTube. I mean, it's going to be our primary focus probably towards the end of the year. We've spent a lot of time obviously on Facebook, but what I'm seeing right now is, in fact, we just recently did a 3-day long Expert Secrets Masterclass. And we broadcasted on Facebook and YouTube, and we actually had two times as many people watching it on YouTube than we did on Facebook, which was completely the opposite of what we thought it was going to be. And so I'm just totally blown away and I'm spending a lot of my time trying to find out who are the, you know, the newest YouTube influencers and who are the people we need to be paying attention to learn from and master this, because I agree there's something going on YouTube that I don't know that much about that I really need to find out and learn.
Yeah, it's really changing. I mean, the other thing that's interesting about YouTube too is it's really the second biggest search platform.
Yeah.
After Google. And it is Google. Right?
<Yeah. laughs> So they got one and two.
I mean, right? Okay. And so and the other thing too, from an advertising perspective, something that a lot of people don't know is that YouTube ads are actually can be extremely effective. I mean, they're cheaper than paid search. And you actually don't get, say if you run like a 2-minute video, like ad type video or engagement video on YouTube as part of an ad, if people only watch the first 30 seconds, you're not charged.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Which is awesome. Like, a lot of people don't know that. So it's like it's a very cost-effective platform to advertise.
I was going to say, as an advertiser, we love it because you're right. We don't have to pay for it.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that awesome? And you can say a lot in 30 seconds. I mean, you really can. And so if you know who you're targeting, if you get the targeting right, then it's, again, we come back to this concept of return. It's really just being very smart. So it was really funny. We have a pet food company as a client at Verifeed. And when we were doing their social audit, we found that only, I think we were looking across all the social networks, but on Twitter, we found they had all these followers. And they were very proud of how much they built up their follower base. And we're like, hey, well, that's great. Let's see how many of those are likely your customers. And we found that only 23% of their followers actually had a dog. And this company sells dog food. And the reason they had so many followers is they were posting a lot of great content and like these beautiful pictures of cute dogs, right? And there's a lot of people who don't own dogs that like to look at pictures of dogs. And it was similar. That's why their followers were growing. It's like, look at this cute dog, right? But they weren't potential customers. So they were spending a lot of time and energy marketing to people who will never buy from them.
Oh my gosh. Great example.
Okay, so this happens all the time. This is like more, it's like the most obvious example I could come up with, but it happens all the time because just because they're your followers doesn't mean they're purchasers, you know? Just because they share, you know, just because they are, following you doesn't even mean they'll see anything you even post. Because everyone's content on social gets trapped in the filter bubble. So unless you know how to game, unless you know how to game the algorithms, and unless you know how who you're aiming at and why, and unless you can shape your content to resonate with the people you're targeting, you're not going to be getting the return that you could be getting. It's as simple as that.
I love that. Well, as we kind of get close to wrapping things up here, Melinda, what anything else you want to make sure that our users understand and know?
Well, I think the main thing really is that, your customers, you know, at the end of the day are the ones that are in charge, right?
Absolutely.
It's hard for us all to admit that. I mean, anyone who runs a company, right? Because you're like really proud of your product or your service and what you're doing and it's awesome. And yeah, there's no question about it. But, you know, honestly, it doesn't pass the why should I care test unless you show that you really care about your customers and what they want. And the best way to do that is just to honor them, really, just by listening to them and actually caring and showing that you do. And so, you know, the more and more you get to know them by using, you know, tools that will allow you to actually really find and understand and listen to your customers or would-be customers over time, you know, the more of a return that you'll be getting. And so we find that all that nice intelligence informs everything else you can be doing. It helps with your SEO even. It helps with Amazon sales, your Amazon rankings. If you're an Amazon seller, it helps with all these different things. So, you know, why guess if you can know?
I love that. Well, you mentioned that you had a special offer for our listeners.
Oh, yes. Thank you for reminding me. Okay. So because we help people build their tribes, if you text the word tribal to 44222, you will qualify for a 15-minute consult with me. Plus, we will find you 25 of your everyday influencers on social media. And so it's a generous offer, and I'm just doing this because I love you guys at ClickFunnels. So any of your listeners that want to take us up on that, we'd be very, very happy to talk to them and give them the influencers. So again, tribal to 44222.
I love that. This is the first time we've ever had a short code on a podcast. So I'm real curious to see what kind of return we get on this for you guys to see how many people actually do this. So
okay.
You have to keep me posted as far as how many people actually take you up on that. I think that's a pretty cool thing.
I always think if someone's listening to this while they're driving, you know, you don't want them to have to remember a URL or something like that. But
I think that's cool. So again, the short code is 44222. And yep. Text the word tribal, T-R-I-B-A-L, to that, 44222. Yep. And again, Melinda, thank you so much for your time today. I greatly appreciate that.
Yeah. Hey, it was great to talk to you, Dave. Really, really enjoyed the conversation a lot.
Thanks for listening to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast. If you'd like to be notified anytime we release a new episode, just subscribe over at funnelhackerradio.com. In addition to that, we'd love to send you a free gift. You can find that free gift at funnelhackerradio.com/free trial. One last thing is we love giving away cars. So if you'd like access to a free dream car, all you have to do is go to funnelhackerradio.com/dreamcar and you'll get all the details. Thanks again for listening.